Hi, everyone, and welcome to Advisor Edge, the GVA Way, a podcast series created for financial advisors navigating the complexities of transitioning from a traditional firm or considering branching out independently for the first time. This podcast will deliver clarity and expertise by answering common questions and guiding you through the services and support GVA provides during the transition process. From establishing your brand to building a client base and managing compliance, we'll provide the insights and resources you need to thrive in your new venture. GVA is a full-service, technology-driven RIA. We are 170 advisors strong across 18 states. We provide asset management, compliance, billing, compensation, insurance, brokerage, 401k services, technology, and more to our advisors. And everything we do is scalable for us and you as we place technology in the forefront. Perhaps what we hold to the highest regard is our dedication to the end user, our clients. We like to say we are a family of like-minded individuals who hold our clients' financial interests above our own. Thank you for joining us and welcome to the GVA Way. We are excited about this. This is our first podcast at Great Valley Advisor Group. And in our first episode today, we are going to go through and discuss transitions, take a little bit of a deep dive into transitions, and try to get an idea of what the overall experience is for the advisor when they make that decision that they want to go independent or they want to transition. So guest today is Phil Reagan, our Business Development Associate here at Great Valley Advisor Group. I'm James Spinelli. I'm the founder and COO of Great Valley Advisor Group. I've been at the firm since the beginning, about 10 years ago. I've helped transition a significant amount of advisors. And Phil, being that you're fairly new, what has the experience been for you? And give us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so introduction, my name is Phil Reagan. I'm the Business Development Associate at Great Valley Advisor Group. My role is to spearhead and lead the effort in recruiting and helping independent financial advisors and firms transition to grow our network, but then also help them grow their business. And my experience so far has been great. I started in June, and so far, a lot of advisors ask a lot of questions. Each one's different.
And we'll get to that.
But we've created, I think, a streamlined process of transition timelines, a DBA marketing launch strategy guide, and then other PDFs and brochures to help advisors feel confident that they can transition compliantly and smoothly.
Very nice. So, Phil, is this your first podcast?
This is my first podcast.
First podcast, too.
Yeah.
All right. So we're in this together here.
Here we go.
Okay. So, Phil, why don't you tell us about your typical day? Give us a rundown of when you come into the office, how many calls you're placing, how many emails, what's the feedback you're getting, advisors calling you, just first and foremost, what's your typical day look like?
Sure. So come in the morning, it's create lists, get back to advisors, answer questions. From 9 to 11, you're making calls. From 2 to 4, you're making calls. Probably average around 50 to 60 calls a day.
Wow.
And you're fielding a lot of questions. You're fielding a lot of answers about transitioning, about why they should even consider transitioning and why I think that they're good candidates for transitioning and for us. And a lot of times it's independent financial advisors from small firms or big wirehouses or even just RIAs that are already existing and letting them know that there's options out there for them that could significantly grow their business and benefit them. So a typical day is around 50 to 60 calls a day, and each call is different.
Yep, each call is definitely different. So during those calls, I'm sure you're fielding a ton of questions, right? And if you had to pinpoint a couple points that you're hearing the most that drives the most anxiety for the advisor when they're looking to make that transition, what do you think that would be, and how have you been able to help communicate that effectively to the advisor looking to make that transition?
Sure. I think for RIA firms, it's they don't want to lose autonomy. They feel like they're giving up the reins. They're losing the ship on a business they've worked so hard to make successful over their years, and it's allowing them to understand that they can continue to own their business, and they're just acting in their client's best interests and letting them know that that's the reality. It's not that they're losing the ship or, you know, they still maintain their autonomy.
But they have to be hesitant to have a conversation with you because you're a recruiter. You're with another RIA. And so for an advisor who is already independent, has already their own DBA established, their own brand established, do they continue to have that brand under the GVA umbrella or under the umbrella of an RIA that they're joining?
Yeah, that's the thing. So GVA will stand in the background. It's really not GVA logo or GVA on top of their name. It's their name, their brand, their coloring. You really won't even see GVA, only in the bottom disclaimer and a one note. So people don't understand that it's their own business, and they feel like they're becoming part of GVA is losing their name and their logo, but that's not the truth. They really can maintain their ownership, their name, and GVA just acts as a third-party extension of their team.
And for those who aren't already independent, right, those who are unplugging from a wirehouse, those who are unplugging from other firms that may have agreements in place, contracts in place, how are you communicating that? Because that probably is the highest anxiety down to the lowest. So if you're already your own RIA, you're already independent, you probably don't have to really think about this as much, right? Hey, I want to shut down the RIA. I'm looking for operational support. I don't need to do this. I want to grow my personal practice. We get that concept. The flip side is you're not.
Yep.
You work for an organization that may have a strong contract in place, may have non-solicits, non-competes. How are you navigating that landscape, and how are you assisting the advisor with that?
Yeah, so I was going to say the other anxiety and complexity, it's like if you're going to become your own RIA or DBA, it's for advisors that they're nervous about the contracts that are in place, the non-solicitations, and they're nervous about, okay, how long is this transition going to take? How do I go about actually leaving my firm and joining another firm? Like, how do I have that conversation with my partners?
Proper agreements, proper communication.
Yep. So that's why we've built a transition timeline. We've built the rules of the road engagement letter that spells out step by step how to go about this in a compliant matter, that spells it out simply for them so that they can feel confident and that they're doing it the right way and at the right speed.
Got it. I think that's great. And in addition to that, if they wanted to, we offer really two distinct channels here, right? You have the hybrid RIA, you have the RIA only. Hybrid RIA means you have the BD affiliation, as well as we have multi-custodians. So we have Charles Schwab, Fidelity, LPL. RIA only means you just go with one of those custodians and there's no BD affiliation. Talk about plugging into the firm. You have the option to either plug into an existing DBA, which requires little to no upfront setup, right? Because the brand's probably out there, the website's out there, you're putting together a bio and you're launching. But what about the flip side? The marketing launch from the get-go. Why don't we talk about that a little bit with someone who wants to create their own brand underneath GVA?
I think this is something that has wowed advisors in a way that having this DBA marketing strategy launch guide, it's you're meeting with our marketing team, you're having that hour consultation, it's allowing us to understand your aspirations, your vision for your brand, and we really go into the detail about what your logo is going to be, the colors, what you want to build your website to be like, and then all the way through 8 steps to your social media outbursts, to your business cards, note cards, having your, you know, website specifically designed to what you want it to look like and what drop downs that you like and, you know, everything that you envision your practice to be. I think this launch guide that we've built and our marketing team has really nailed it down to the detail to make sure that your practice comes to life the way that you really envisioned it and making it actually happen.
And all that leading up to the launch, right? Nothing is done ahead of time. Everything is done anonymously, right? Everything on the back end from filings with the U4 filings, from DBAs, everything is pretty much in a draft status until officially over, licenses have transferred, and then we are able to push everything live from emails to marketing. Anything else I may have missed?
No, that's right. I think it makes it so that it's smooth, and when you finally make that decision to leave and start your own business, you really hit the ground running from day one.
Got
and
it.
Everything's set up prior, and it allows people to grow, and the transition becomes much less disruptive to their clients, and they can already start building their business, and they're not losing that much time. The cost of, you know, missing time away from building their business is not as great as they think, because everything's set up.
That's huge. So let's get a little specific. Yeah. You talked about transitions. So with regards to the transitions team that we have here, I see you have the DBA marketing launch guide there. But with regard to the transition team we have here, what does that look like? So an advisor moving forward says, we want to go with GVA. Up until that point, it's a lot of discussions with our marketing team. It's a lot of discussions with compliance. It's a lot of discussions around how they want to manage their models. Do they want to do it themselves? Do they want to use a third party? What custodian do you want to use? Are you going to use a broker dealer? Right. There's a lot of questions that you're fielding, and this is all part of the, you know, the steps that you're taking to make sure that it's a perfect fit. When they decide to unplug and plug in, what does day one for that advisor look like?
So we have the transition timeline, which has been helpful. And then Michelle Duff and other transition members on our team, they specialize in, from day one, hand-holding the advisor and making sure that they have all the correct forms filled out. And it's, it makes it easier so that they know that each step is done the right way. The transition timeline makes it so that they know what forms are getting done. And we take care of all that for them, but at their pace and making sure that it all gets done correctly. And I think the transition timeline really has helped spell out that process simply and making sure that the advisors feel confident.
Got it. And I think that's a huge factor, right? And a lot of this can be done DocuSign. Mm-hmm. There are still some forms out there that are going to require wet signatures. But for the most part, it's all electronic, right? So the advisor can focus on calling their clients, getting those signatures, and making sure it's done in a compliant manner.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Okay. So let's switch. Let's go over to payouts. Let's talk about payouts, right?
Everyone loves to talk about payouts.
Everybody loves payouts.
It's the first question every time.
It's the first question, right? And so obviously GVA has a payout grid on their website. But talk to us about how you think about payouts. I can talk about from my perspective. But when you're having that conversation, you know, what kind of goes into that?
I think it's flexibility is the big thing. Yeah. And people, I feel like they get confused when I say that. But the truth is the payout, what we see on the website, that everyone can see on the website, the payout, it does change depending on the advisor. So sometimes the payout can be more, sometimes the payout can be lower. But it depends on how much, you know, you're bringing in or transitioning, and it really can be skinned a few ways. Like if you don't want to, like we can be flexible so that the first year or two, we can make your payout higher or lower, and then it can change over time. We can really adapt the payout to be beneficial for both sides and make sure that it, make sure that the advisor is going to grow.
Yep.
And it makes sense for both sides. I think the payout, it's a good payout no matter what.
Yeah.
But it's also a flexible payout so that it's not set in stone, and we don't want to make any advisor that's crushing it angry. So if we see that their payout is just doesn't make sense anymore
sure.
for how well they're doing, there's conversations and discussions that we can have because we're flexible RIA.
Absolutely. And a lot of that goes into the transition assistance, right? Mm-hmm. So sometimes upfront, whether you're purchasing real estate, whether you have other opportunities, maybe you need a little bit more upfront versus down the road. There's ways that that payout can fluctuate based on that. So it's not like a set grid. It's very flexible depending on what that advisor is looking for during the transition process.
Agreed? Right. Agreed.
Got it. And then how about the real estate angle? How about building out the team? We've talked about the marketing, the website. So the only thing that really, if you're a new advisor thinking about going independent, you're thinking to yourself, okay, am I taking my team? Am I rebuilding my team? Am I building my own models? There's a ton of that out here, right? So, you know, shameless plug, right? GVA has their own models in-house.
Yes,
so a lot of advisors will use that, right? And that comes into the payout conversation as well. But maybe they don't. Maybe they want to build their own models. Maybe they have a way of doing things. Can they do that?
Yeah, that's the beauty. Like
that's
you can
it, right?
You can decide to continue building your own models. If you want to continue to use your office space and use your staff, like we can make that work. And we've also seen situations where like we've brought staff onto GVA's operations because they're great staff. And, you know, they were like, we don't want to fire our staff. It's like, no, you don't have to do that. Don't worry about that because we can make it work within our team. We can find a position for them in GVA.
So, and that's a really good point, one that we haven't talked about today. That's going to come into acquisitions, which I think we'll save for another podcast down the road. But the acquisition channel from an RIA looking to wind down and join us may have that thought process.
Right.
And that's one that I think you've done a good job of explaining, one that we have already done multiple transactions around that and kept the staff. And I think that that's an important piece. So do you have any closing remarks, closing thoughts, anything that you have here? I know you talked about the DBA marketing launch guide. Anything else that you would want to bring up?
Yeah, the one thing that I didn't mention earlier, but I was thinking about during this conversation was advisors who are transitioning, a lot of them feel like they had a bad experience transitioning and they don't want to go through that pain again. And something that I've seen, which is like so huge for GVA, is that we've been able to, we don't disappear after the advisor transitions. We're a phone call away. We have a team. We have a step-by-step process in place. It's built down to a science. We know how to help transition these advisors, and we've built a team to help them go through this process effectively and smoothly. And it's something that they've never seen before. And it's just that feeling of having trust and a team and a family that's behind them to support them. It's something that I think advisors that have transitioned have felt, but advisors that have not transitioned with us yet, they would feel that support.
Correct.
It's huge.
So let me ask you this, Phil, when you have an advisor transition and they decide to join Great Valley and they're on the other side of the fence, they've made the move, they're now under the RAA, do they never talk to you again?
That's the big thing. No, we don't disappear. We're here. I still talk to all the advisors that have transitioned, and we don't go away. We're
and I think a big away. And I think a big factor here is of the advisors that have transitioned, they're independent business owners. They've been through it just like GVA has been through it from day one. We've decided to build a firm. They've decided to build a firm. We know exactly what that feels like. We can help support them along the way. And I think you've done a good job of just truly understanding what that means for the advisor by seeing it day in and day out from the groups we work with today, from the conferences we have. And I think that's an important factor when you're thinking about going independent and how you're going to plug in to use one of those custodians. And I think that's a big piece. So, Phil, thanks again for joining us on our first ever podcast at Great Valley Advisor Group. Be sure to follow us and join us on our next podcast as we talk about how GVA can take you and your practice to the next level. Thank you. The opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriate qualified professional prior to making a decision.